sorry for the slight delay. First order of business is roll call.
Here. Director O'Leary? Director Caretz? Director Perry?
Here.
Director Ridley-Thomas? Director Westall?
Here.
Chair Yaslovsky?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Next order of business is the approval of the December 1st, 2011 regular board meeting minutes. Is there any discussion or motion?
Move it.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I just don't know if I'm supposed to vote on that since I was
the old abstain, okay. Otherwise, without objection, unanimous vote with Director Caretz abstaining. Next item is public comment. I have a request from Mr. Clint Simmons. Mr. Simmons? If you'd like, while you're at it, if you want to speak to item number 5-2 while you're up there, that's fine, too. If you'd like to speak on item 5 also, so you don't have to come back up, that's fine. Otherwise, we'll call you back up when we get to item 5. Okay.
At least now the board will bring you up to speak on items, which is something we've been trying to do for a long time. Okay, no problem. First, I'd like to say Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Started.
Thank you.
And I would like, if I can get you to arrange for the West Adam Neighborhood Council to get a hardback copy of the some of the pages I'm missing out of this one, if we need to use one.
What is that you're holding?
It's called the EIS EIR for the phase one.
Okay. Do we, you guys have it?
So I get a hard copy of that.
It's online?
It's online.
You get it online, Mr. Simmons?
I don't know. We'd rather get the hard copy. This goes to the West Ave Neighborhood Council, which is a city charter group there.
Do you guys get a hard copy?
So yeah. We don't need it online. You should have a hard copy there.
Okay. We'll take care of it.
Friends of Expo get what they want, and they're not a city unit.
I don't know about that, but we'll get you a hard copy.
Okay.
Can we get it to you?
Okay, the next item that I have...
Before you go on, should we get it to you?
Yes, it can make it easy. Why don't you get it? One of the major problems that we have, which I have been discussing, is the noise, and now we have a graffiti problem that is taking place, and the type of material that they're using for graffiti coating is completely inadequate, because what happened is that the material that they're using, we had graffiti that took place last week, and the gentleman who came out took him about 3 hours to take it off, and then when you're doing that, you're taking all of the graffiti coating along with the paint, and then you're getting more into the pores of the concrete, and so therefore it makes it even worse the next time, and you have to reapply it. If you use a material that, like a Teflon base, or either a polyurethane with a fluorinated mix, and then it's just a matter of a few minutes with the soap and water, and you wash it off. For some reason, the Expo Authority want to use cheap stuff from 400 feet west of Vermont out to Los Angeles. And I imagine because the majority of the people live there are blacks and Latinos, and so we don't get the good stuff that other areas get, like Culver City and USC. That is unexplainable there. And if you don't move graffiti fast enough, it only invites the taggers to continue to come to that area. And so we had a nice neighborhood before this train came through, and there's a lot of stuff in the ER that hasn't been done yet, and this is one thing that's going to have to be taken care of. I am sure attorneys somewhere will see to it that you people restore some of the privacy as well as somebody contain some of the noise that's existing there. I notice, again, we have engineering change orders that nobody asked, so I assume these are year-end bonuses that the companies are getting for that. When the FTA was in here last week talking with, last month rather, talking with, they've been here for six months, going through MTA's procedures, and it seemed as though to me that some of the recommendations that they've made have not been taken into consideration. And I do know, as well as the CEO, Rick Thorpe, knows that this thing would not meet the noise requirement unless he has been successful in bribing the CPUC. MTA has not tested it up to where it should be, the worst case. This is all in the EIR-EIS. And hopefully that with this board, that if it's really concerned about this particular phase one as well as phase two running, it should look more into how it's being handled by what the appointees y'all have running it here. It seems as though when we make requests for stuff, we just don't get it. Now, if you don't think it's noisy, I invite you to come out and visit me and just sit for an hour or two, and we'll chat and talk and see what can happen in that case. Now, there have been some discussion when I was here in September. Rick said he'll handle these things in the ER. Yes, there's a lot of stuff in the ER that can be done to mitigate the noise. And I haven't seen no action at all taking place. One thing to say, the monitor is not going to change the noise that's there. The monitor's not going to come out and give us a BS because we will make sure that doesn't happen. And, we just like to get some type of adjustment from 400 feet west of Vermont. That's from downtown to that 400 feet west of Vermont. Everything you need is there. Beautifications. They spent money for landscaping. You can't even tell there's a train coming through. And as a matter of fact, the speed is nowhere near what it's supposed to be, and it's my understanding that they will come to a complete stop during events. But from 400 feet west to La Cienega, you've got a different railroad. It's different in terms of we have cross tides that collects trash, other problems that can create an environmental as well as a health hazard. Noise unbelievable. The sound wall is completely inefficient, the one that they have. Then north of the alignment, from Crenshaw all the way to La Cienega, there's no wall there at all. And the sound is just intolerable, specifically when they're blowing the horn. These are some things that the CPUC requires, horn from a safety point of view. But there are mitigations that can be done to eliminate that and make the place suitable for people to live there. But for some reason, I assume that the Expo Authority don't want to spend the money in doing that. I will thank you for giving me a chance to express our concerns. And we will continue to do these things. And we've had all kind of promises. And I will assume that once the line is turned over to MTA, then the Expo Authority, you guys have no control of it then at all. It's up to the managers that I have talked to with the construction about the noise. He said we have a operational problem now. The job was billed. It's up to us to deal with MTA. If MTA accepts this thing before all of the testing has been done.
Okay.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons. You want to respond on either the graffiti or the last item?
I think the graffiti, because that needs some clarification. The graffiti, anti-graffiti coating has been applied universally throughout the line. So it's the same material, whether it's in Culver City, USC, or in the area that Mr. Simmons was referring to. The material itself is something that Metro has utilized. They've tried a lot of different anti-graffiti coating. This is the one they've selected universally throughout the entire system, including Pasadena and other locations. And they specify that we utilize this part of their design criteria. So we've been using what Metro has.
How long is it taken when graffiti appears? I assume it's on wall. Talking about
so-called sound wall.
How long does it take to get the graffiti off once it appears?
Well, right now it is the contractor's responsibility, and he has one crew dedicated to do nothing but remove the graffiti. Once Metro takes over, then they have a certain policy I believe it's like, I forget, I think 24 hours, but we can find that out.
All right, can you check with the contractor for the meantime, between now and the time we turn it over to Metro, and just...
Contractor's been very responsive.
Has
so
it?
As soon as we find out or somebody calls in that, or they actually see it out there, they'll get out to remove it. Like I say, they do have one crew dedicated for to do that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Simmons. I'll come. I may give you a call. Pick you up on that. Make sure you have sugar-free drinks. All right.
May I just
yes.
For public's information, the number to call for graffiti on the line is it a specific graffiti hotline or
922 Expo?
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Next item.
213 area code.
Item 5A, consent calendar, monthly contract actions.
Any objection? Moved by O'Connor, second by Ridley Thomas, without objection. Unanimous vote.
Item 6A, Phase 2, Sepulveda Parking Structure Ground Lease.
Mr. Thorpe?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, this action is a request to approve a ground lease with the City of Los Angeles for the Sepulveda Parking Structure. For phase two of the project, what we would like is for the board to approve the attached term sheet. The attached term sheet provides us with a 50-year ground lease in exchange for $3.1 million in order to build our parking structure. As part of the FEIS, there was a demand at the Sepulveda station for a park and ride facility, and looking around the area, it was determined that the best location would be a shared facility with the City of LA at the southwest corner of Sepulveda, where they have their parking enforcement facility. So we've been working closely with the City of Los Angeles. We've come to an agreement. It'll be basically a two-story parking structure. The first floor, three. The first floor will be dedicated to the City of LA. The second and third floors would be dedicated to Metro. Metro would have 260 spaces within that facility on the second and third floor. We need this action now, and we've been working very hard with the city on it, because we need to relocate temporarily the existing city parking onto our right-of-way while we build the structure. Once the structure is done, we'll move that temporary parking for the city back into the parking structure, and the location of the temporary parking is where we're building the aerial structure. So all of that has to occur in a sequence that requires us to get started very quickly. So what we're asking for is board approval to approve the term sheet and authorize me to execute any final agreements in accordance with that term sheet.
Director Perry has a question. Before I do that, I want to record state that Director Ridley Thomas arrived at the meeting 2 minutes after we started, so failed to recognize you. Here. Ms. Perry.
I wanted to know, is there any space for retail on the street level?
No. This is just because it's within the city's, I won't call it a compound, but it's adjacent to the city's building, which is houses their traffic enforcement division.
Yeah,
so it's like within a city area.
How far away is it from the closest public right-of-way?
It's going to be adjacent to the sidewalk on Exposition Boulevard, and it's about
I think 300 to 400 feet from the intersection.
Did you ever ask the city whether they were interested in that, even if it was some small retail snack shop for their own employees?
No, I don't believe so. Did
we actually went through a process with the city of Los Angeles. They looked at this parcel, and they actually hired an independent consultant to look at the best uses for the parcel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we decided to do a ground lease and not purchase the parcel, because they wanted to hold on to it in the event that they did someday want to do a joint development there.
Mm-hmm.
So this preserves their right to do that because they're preserving the land. So in the future, they may want to look at that and reconfigure their site.
Mm-hmm.
On where we're building our parking structure, it's a very small footprint because we didn't want to take up very much of their site, so it barely gets on the number of cars that we need.
Okay.
But in terms of the rest of their site, it is something that they've looked at. It's a very valuable piece of land.
Yeah.
So in the future, there's still a possibility that they could develop it, and that's why we worked out this ground lease with them.
Great. Yeah, whenever there's a concentration of people, it's always an opportunity to see if there's a way to provide them with some kind of an amenity.
Any other questions? Because we're leasing it for a total cost of $3.1 million upfront, is that what it is?
That's correct.
What was what was budgeted for the purchase? We were thinking of purchasing
it? $5.5
million. Okay. So there's a slight savings.
That's correct.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, is there a motion to approve the term sheet?
So
moved by Koretz. Second by O'Connor. Without objection, unanimous vote.
Item 6B, Phase 2 Preliminary Engineering for the Santa Monica Terminus Station.
This item deals with, at the last board meeting, we brought to you the concept of that the City of Santa Monica proposed of shifting the station more parallel to Colorado Boulevard. Had a lot of advantages as far as egress into the station for pedestrian standpoint, better operational configuration for Metro. However, it comes at a significant additional cost. And so we've been working with the City of Santa Monica regarding the additional cost and whether they wanted to, we have a firm fixed price bid for its current location. We believe it works in the current location, so we've been talking to them about a betterment and how to handle the additional cost. We are working out a term sheet that would be brought back to this board at a later date, in which we have to buy the right-of-way from the City of Santa Monica, the underlying right-of-way, and it may be enough to handle the additional cost for moving the station. So we're working with that. In the meantime, we don't want to delay the project and the contractor. So the City of Santa Monica City Council has approved up to $450,000 to continue with the engineering while we work out the term sheet. So the action before you today is to authorize me to negotiate a final cost to do the preliminary engineering, not to exceed $450,000. That $450,000 would be paid for by the City of Santa Monica.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? Not objection. Moved by O'Connor, seconded.
Item 6C, Phase 2 Schedule Adjustment.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this item is before you for consideration. It is a Metro policy to add schedule contingency, just very similar as you would add a cost contingency to any of their projects. This is a Measure R project, and in order to be consistent with all the Measure R projects, We're recommending that, consistent with Metro's schedule contingency policy, that we add schedule contingency to the project. This would not affect the requirement for the contractor to complete the construction by July of 2015. It only allows for the addition of schedule contingency should something come up that is not under the control of the contractor. For example, we're still currently in litigation, and should that litigation result in delays in completion of the project, we would be required to extend the time for the contractor to complete their work, and so we would utilize that contingency in that particular case. So we are still, even if the board approves, I mean, assuming the board approves this addition of the schedule contingency to be consistent with all the rest of the Measure R projects, we would still be working against the original schedule until such time as that contingency would be needed. And so, again, to be consistent with all Measure R projects, we would recommend approval. In addition, and by doing so, it brings the project out into November of 2016, if you add that schedule contingency. What we are also proposing is that once we get through some of the bigger risk items in the projects that are still unknown, before us, we don't know what impact that's going to have schedule-wise. We have the Kettner box that runs down Colorado Boulevard. We don't know what we're going to have to do. If we had to rebuild that, that would certainly impact the schedule. There are other risk elements out there, and so part of this recommendation is also that we revisit the schedule contingency after the project's about 50% complete to see if we can release some of that contingency at that point.
Any discussion? This is the way we're Metro is doing this with
on all Measure R projects.
Is there any discussion?
So the date that we put forward as the completion date?
Well, there's the complete. We'll have to think about from a public relations standpoint. The completion date for the contractor remains July of 2015. And until we use any of that contingency, that will be the completion date. Now, as far as when we say it's going to open up to the public, we'll have to take a look at that and determine what is the more prudent discussion, because we still have potential delays out there. But this contingency would result in a November of 2016 startup if all of that contingency was used.
Okay. Any other comments? Not. Moved by Leary, seconded by Koretz without objection. Unanimous vote.
Item 7A, project status update.
Mr. Olson will present this item.
Starting with phase one, some recent photographs. This is the pedestrian crossing in front of USC, the safety bollards that are installed here, basically to keep vehicles from crossing the guideway. And the unique thing here is these bollards can be removed on a USC game day to allow the patrons to cross there a little more freely. This is work at the Farmdale station, so that work continues to progress nicely. And this is train testing going on at the La Cienega Jefferson station, so Metro training continues along the alignment with the trains. This is some new landscaping at the Culver City station, so that work continues to progress. major issues, starting with the schedule. Our contractor, FFP, has still not attained substantial completion. We did enter into an agreement to defer the assessment of liquidated damages pending the closeout of the project. Staff's latest evaluation of the contractor's schedule is looking at substantial completion, assuming they can complete the elements of work that we've evaluated in the durations that we looked at would be sometime towards the end of this month. We're working closely with Metro to resolve issues with the signaling system at the junction, so we're out there basically now on a nightly basis working through there to try to get that operating the way that it should operate. We're initial pre-revenue operations. We're working with Metro now to get those started, hopefully as early as next week. And once the Metro goes into pre-revenue operations, then they can determine their date for revenue service. The other remaining elements of the project, namely the Farmdale Station and the Culver City work, are scheduled to be completed early this year, and that includes the installation of the temporary bike facilities we talked about at the meeting last week at Culver City Station. There's other elements of work that remain to be completed, including the improvements at the Western Avenue and Exposition for parking and pedestrian queuing areas, the Cimarron Rodeo replacement parking. We have miscellaneous street work that needs to get completed, as well as the contractor completing his punch list items. Project budget. Our latest budget analysis is still forecasting a shortfall of a little over $3 million. Along with that, there's still items out there that could adversely affect this analysis, which includes unforeseen or differing site conditions, disputed potential change orders, additional third-party costs, and additional professional services costs. We continue to work through our cost containment efforts. Looking at third-party reimbursements, we're trying to pursue approximately $2.8 million, as well as looking at other cost-saving measures that we have at about $800,000. Again, the thing we've been trending at just a little over $3 million here for the last 3 months, so we continue to aggressively manage any more increases to the budget. Other issues, noise. We did go out and collect noise readings. Basically, based on the operating parameters that are out on the system now, which is basically single-car trains at really not regular headways, but those noise levels were consistent with the requirements of the FEIR. Once Metro goes into a full operating schedule, we'll go back out along the alignment, have our noise consultant go out and take additional measurements to make sure we are fulfilling the requirements in the environmental document. Privacy screens, a request was brought up at the last board meeting to look at the cost of privacy screens between La Brea Avenue and Dunsmuir. We did that, and the cost came out to about $300,000, and this was based on putting about a 2-foot screen on top of the existing sound walls using kind of an opaque paraglass material. The Clean Mobility Center, we met with members of the Culver City Bicycle Coalition to discuss the deferment of the Clean Mobility Center at Culver City Station. We think we had an agreement on what to be done there. We talked to them about the timing of when that would be, and we also talked to them a little bit about looking at maybe some interim signing and striping areas to try to make access to the station for bicyclists a little more friendly. So we're evaluating that now. We're also looking at alternatives for the installation of the CMC. I think we have a few options. One would be to have our Venice Boulevard aerial structure contractor procure and install the Clean Mobility Center. We could also give it to our Phase 2 design-build contractor, Skanska Rados. And the other option would be to piggyback on a Metro procurement of CMC facilities. They're looking at these at a number of locations in the county. So we're going to continue to work closely with Metro to make sure that we're clear on where they're moving forward with these facilities, and also to make sure that we're also consistent from a scoping perspective. The remaining budget that we had on the CMC, we have about $250,000 that we can budgetly apply to the installation. We also looked at other locations where we could put the CMC, but we're really constrained space-wise in the plaza area, and we're also constrained by getting the service, basically sewer and water connections for the CMC. So we're fairly limited as far as any options to move the facility. FFP local jobs program, basically this last month they had 27.5% in total local hires for a cumulative to date of 30.1%, so they're slightly over the goal. DBE performance, overall they're at 20% attainment to date, 21.4, the goal is 20%, attainment to date 21.4, and their forecast at completion is 21.9%. Moving on to phase two. The contractor continues to do mainly clearing and grubbing work along the alignment, getting the site ready to go in for the beginning of construction. This is basically as he goes in and takes over portions of the right-of-way. He goes through and fences the right-of-way to secure it. The design-build contract, we received 60% design submittals on a number of civil and structural elements as well as stations, so the design continues to progress nicely. We've continued the analysis of the Kendra Canyon storm drain, so we've completed the field analysis and are now waiting for the results to see what, if anything, we'd have to do there. We're continuing to work closely with DWP and SCE for the overhead power line relocation, so we're constantly monitoring that, and we actually have a partnering workshop with Edison scheduled for this Monday to, again, do everything we can to make sure they are able to get those lines down to support our contractor schedule. The maintenance facility design contract, maintenance design group has completed the preliminary engineering, and the design continue after we complete negotiations for the final design. Venice Boulevard aerial structures, we submitted the final project study report, project report to Caltrans, so we're working to seek approval of that document. We've received 100% design submittals for a major sanitary sewer line that needs to get done, so that's moving forward. And the contractor submitted a 95% bridge design to Caltrans and ourselves for review and comment. So that continues to move along nicely. Community outreach. There was an urban design committee meeting held late last month, three stakeholder meetings for replacement parking along Colorado Avenue in the city of Santa Monica. We briefed the Overland Elementary School Parent-Teacher Association, and we continue to work with the businesses along the alignment to keep them posted on construction activities. And there's a community meeting for the maintenance facility scheduled for the 23rd. Local hour utilization, basically this month the contractor Skanska Rados is at 41% for a cumulative date of 38%. The subcontractors were at 90.9% for local residents for an overall cumulative to date of 17%. And totals to date basically average 52.2% for the month with a cumulative to date of 29%. Local SBE and SBE goals, at this point in time, the contractor is at 1.9% local SBEs and 2.3% for SBEs, but I think you'll see these numbers ramp up significantly once the contractor starts to move into more significant construction work. That concludes my presentation.
Okay. Any questions? Comments, Director O'Leary?
Yes, wanted to thank you for thank you for reaching out to the Culver City Bicycle Coalition. I know they had some concerns, and they were in and spoke regarding those concerns, referencing the Clean Mobility Center. And since I haven't heard back from them, I'm assuming the meeting went well, and thank you for that. Appreciate it.
All right. Other comments?
Item 7B, Metro Inspector General Audit.
I think Karen.
Yeah, she's coming. She's coming up.
Oh, here she is.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Karen Gorman from MCA. I'm here on behalf of the Office of Inspector General today. Really just a courtesy call I was making on each of three boards that the MTA last month passed a motion asking the Inspector General's office to do a review of staffing levels and compensation levels at the Expo Line, the Alameda Corridor East Construction Authority, and the Gold Line. So I've been making courtesy visits to each of those boards to let them know about that motion, making courtesy visits at each of the CEO's offices to let them know that we'd be requesting some information to carry out the board's directive to me, answering any questions that they might have or you might have in connection with that. And that's really all I came today to make that courtesy visit to let you know I was proceeding on carrying out the board's directive concerning that.
Let's make sure we stick to the directive of the Metro Board on that. Right? The motion that was made was pretty specific, so I hope you cover those points. All right. Any other comments? All right. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Next item.
Item 8, CEO comments.
Mr. Chair, if I could just take a brief moment to bring you up to speed. There's been a lot of articles in the newspaper and discussions about where we are with the startup of the Expo One system. For those that you may not know, the signaling system at the junction, and what we call a junction, is where the Expo Line and the Blue Line come together. So at Washington Street and Flower Street, both of those two lines come together. So we'll have Expo trains and Blue Line trains operating on that section from Washington Street along Flower down into the subway area at 7th and Metro. In order to do that, we have a very complex train control system. We had tested it using what we call the P2000 vehicles. Metro actually operates three different types of vehicles. The vehicle we tested worked fine. However, when we started running the older Blue Line vehicles, we found that the signaling system, it wasn't picking up the Blue Line vehicles. So we have been working very diligently, basically every night, in trying to resolve the issue because the older vehicles have to continue to operate on the Blue Line, and because they operate on the Blue Line, they have to go through that junction. So the bottom line is we've been working very hard in order to get that signaling system up. We had, I believe, a breakthrough last night where they think they have found the problem that would allow the 865 or the older light rail vehicles to be picked up as they go through the junction. And that will take about a week in order to implement it. It's some software changes and some wiring changes at the junction. So we're optimistic that within a week we'll have those changes done. In the meantime, we've been working with Metro, and Metro has agreed to start running trains into the junction on a manual basis at night. The importance of that is for them to start to get a feel of how to integrate the Expo Line into the Blue Line and how it would actually operate, the most optimal operating scenario once it gets into the 7th and Metro station. So I think that's real positive as well. And then we continue to operate trains from 23rd Street out to La Cienega, so that Metro can, familiarize their operators with that operation, and that seems to be going fairly well. We have a few issues here and there, and as they come up, we send the contractor out to address those issues. So we're making progress. We're almost there, and we're looking forward to getting this all turned over to Metro so they can get their pre-revenue operations going and set a date for the actual opening to the public.
The testing that's going to be done, I believe, commencing Monday. Some testing is going to be done with the cars?
Yeah, that's when we're going to, Metro is planning at night to run the first Expo trains and merge them into the Blue Line trains in through that junction on a manual basis and then run them down into the 7th of Metro.
That technically will not constitute pre-revenue operations for Metro, I take it. But I assume, is Paul Taylor here? I saw him here earlier. I assume that to the extent that, that there are testing taking place next week, that the extent that the testing is successful and would reduce the amount of time that the line, this is a question for you, Paul. I assume that this would deduct from the amount of time that all revenue operations has to take place.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think you've characterized it accurately.
So if there's a week or two of this kind of testing, I assume that, and it works well, that the week or two could be deducted at the other end. The revenue operation doesn't become a three-month or whatever operation.
Yes, we're endeavoring to overlap things as much as we can and determine that everything works safely, and then we'll go.
Yeah. I appreciate the work that's being done between Metro and Expo now. I didn't like reading about stuff that is alleged going on, but I think the main thing is that we have communication between this construction authority and Metro, that we resolve these problems swiftly, and frankly, it's more important to me that you resolve the problems than give interviews to newspapers. The time you're spending giving interviews to newspapers is the time you're not spending solving this problem. This is just becoming a punching bag. That kind of thing takes place. So I called both of you. I called Art and Rick over the holidays to get this thing going, and my perception is that since made that call, everybody's getting in the same room, has been in the same room, trying to get this thing done, because it's important to everyone to get this thing going.
And we have, and I think Metro has, they have now assigned a person to kind of take the lead from their standpoint that has tons of experience, and I think that's already started to make has really helped in the process. And as you indicate, we're now starting to meet regularly as a group to jointly figure out how if we have a problem, how we can work around that problem to get this open as soon as
we can. We're in a problem solving mode, not in a finger pointing mode. All right. Thank you, both of you. Any other comments? Item, if not, have any other comments, Rick?
No, that was it. I just want to give a
any board update. Member comments? I have one comment. Wish everybody a happy New Year. And we have no closed session today, correct?
Yeah, no closed session.
So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Go entertain.
He can show you how to adjourn.